Craig joined as well.
Awesome. Welcome, Craig. Okay, so let's get started. Hopefully more of the Viljich team folks will join quickly. But this is the normal reporting showcase, though it isn't so much a showcase meeting. At this point, I think the team's been focused on demo data and kind of updating the last few visualizations for the demo at Gavi. So Clay, you had kind of suggested we focus our time today on that, like number one, talk about the demo data, and number two, reviewing some of the updated visualizations.
Sure.
I know you said not everything is totally loaded through NiFi, like some of the demo data stuff is still in progress, so I think that's fine. It's still good to touch base and get an update. And yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we can start by looking at the revisions I made to the visualizations. So through some conversations with Mary Jo, I'll share my screen here now. We sort of built our dashboards out to be a little more targeted around certain metrics. So instead of having one overview dashboard, we thought we would have like a closed file wastage dashboard and a like stock supply level dashboard. And it's sort of meant as you move through the dashboard to give you a sense of where do I need to look further? And then as you move down to the dashboard, you know, you have some more detailed level slices that'll help you dig into why something might be, you know, out of the ordinary. As noted, you know, we this is with the current demo data that was on your demo server at the beginning of the project, and Craig and I and the team are working on generating much greater volume of demo data that'll make these visualizations much richer. And I can give an update on that at the end, but for purposes of our recording here, I think it would make sense to look at these visualizations first. So for our closed file wastage dashboard, at the top, we've got kind of two different slices. One that's a tree map, which gives you some drill down function, some drill down capability for the closed file wastage amounts. And that drill down is, so here I see for Lichinga, I have 726, and if I click on Kawamba, it would drill in. This just has it at the facility level. I'll show you this visualization on the stock monitoring dashboard. You'll actually see the drill in. But the way this tree map is meant to work is it starts at a high level, a high grouping, a high level group by, and then you can drill in to more specific dimensions. So it would be province to district to facility level. And then here to the right, we just have a, you know, top five. Yeah, go ahead.
Just for clarification, because we haven't had the demo data in there to be able to do the drill down, does it go for a certain number of drill down points? Because all I've ever seen is just one drill down. Are you saying that it continues to drill down if you have more levels of hierarchy in it?
That's right. Yeah, I'll show you. I just switched the. So facilities. Let's see if this one will give it to us. Yeah. So what we've got here. At first, it's showing at the district level. I can click on Lichinga, and now I see the values for the Assumain facility. And clicking on that again, I now see the specific commodity types that are you know, at risk for a stockout. And you can see at the top here, you know, we've got what we're seeing right now is the commodity type level. Up here is the facility name. Up here is the district name. You know, these are, the numbers are identical because there's a one-to-one relationship there. But yeah, as many levels as you want to drill into, we could specify that. And you just drill back by clicking on the bar at the top.
Great, thanks. Excited to see it with more data.
Okay. Yeah. Once we get more data, especially across all of Mozambique, you know, a lot of these will be province level to district level to facility level, and then potentially to commodity type level where it makes sense. Yeah. And then, you know, another one we have here is just the top five facilities with the highest closed vial wastage rate. So to the left, we have amounts, to the right, we have rate. And this is sort of meant to let you know which facilities you need to do some additional investigation into. And so scrolling down, we have our filters. And you know, these top two slices in combination with these two here to the right, which I'll get to in a second, are sort of meant to tell you how you should apply your filters and look at the dashboard, look at the slices we have down here below that are a bit more detailed. So first, it's facilities without data or without any stock card line items in the last 30 days. It's returning no data because all of our facilities have submitted, but I can just jump into the Explore Chart feature here. And it's just a table that will be returning the facilities where the count is equal to zero. So I've applied a result filter here on the bottom. And what that does, if I were to drop this filter off, I see the count of line items for our two facilities in the last 30 days. I have this hard-coded to be just November because that's our date range in our demo data. But we can apply a filter just by saying count not equal to, or equal to blank. You know, and that's how that build works. That's just why it's not displaying data right now.
Clay, just a quick question, because I actually didn't get this before. Is other visualizations when it had no data said like no data, and this one returned this error 500? Is there a reason why it's not just saying no data? It's not actually throwing an error. It's just not finding any.
I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to follow up with you on that.
Okay. I was just curious because I know that when you were gone last week and we looked at these, some of the other ones weren't populating with any data and it just said no data. So that was why.
I think it varies by like visualization type. I can look into that for you though, so we can get a sense. Cause I mean, I agree. This is, if there ever is a situation where 100% of your facilities have reported, this would be not something that it wouldn't be the best thing to display to an end user. and then secondly, sort of on the flip side of that is we can see our submissions over the last 30 days, on the map. And we've updated this map to be at the district level, and it has the facilities or these circles that are on it. So instead of province level, you know, now we have a district level map with the facilities. If you feel the facilities make it too busy, we could remove those.
But is that's not a density, it's just that'll tell us the actual like number of submissions.
Sorry.
Is this just when there's been one submission? We should talk about this. I think having a density of like the count submission count should be indicated, not just a map where you've seen a submission.
Yeah. When you hover over the region, it'll give you the count. I mean, we could take it off of a map and put it, into some other visualization, definitely. Or maybe two of them alongside each other.
It might be better if it's like a chloropleth or something for the region instead of the by facility, I'm not sure.
I would agree with that. Like having that, what you just said, that you call it a chloropleth or whatever kind, but the one where it looks... I know what you're talking about, but that would be more meaningful because then at the province it would look red or green and then you could click in and then see the details because this is a lot of facility, big circles, same size, that it just looks really...
Yeah, it doesn't tell us anything.
Tough to, like, what am I getting from this?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm having a bit of an internet connection issue, but I think what I'm hearing is the map is too busy and we should look at a chloropath or some other type of visualization for this.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So sort of from these, you'll have a sense of what your reporting facilities are and which ones have high rates of closed vial wastage, and then we could apply a filter. And then look down at sort of the bottom half to see how it's been trending by commodity type over time. With this graph, we would like to add a line for the national average so that you can compare your current facility's rate against the national average. Obviously, with just one facility line, this isn't the most helpful. It depends over time, but we would like to compare the national average as well. It's something that our one of our data engineers is going to be looking at once she updates the NiFi flow with to process the demo data load that we were alluding to earlier. We also have the bottom closed vial wastage broken down by reason by week, so you can identify if there's perhaps, I don't know, a high incidence of theft, or if things are being expired, not being refrigerated properly, things of that nature. And then here we would have a count of facilities, a count of stock cards from each facility that don't have reasons specified, because those reasons, as we understood it, are optional fields, and so. This will give us a sense of if a site has gaps in the data, we would be able to identify that here. In the demo data on the server, all of the stock cards have reasons, and so that's why it's saying no data is returned.
Great, and there you see my example of that's very user friendly response.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I guess any thoughts or general feedback on what we have here? I think we definitely need to make some improvements to the map here. I agree with you. And I'll look into this error and why it's not just saying no data was returned.
Yeah. These bi-facility charts are not going to work later. So we're going to have to put it down, like filter it down to like a sub-district or something. This is going to be too many.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, right? These top two graphs are meant to identify facilities that you should focus on. You apply a filter, and then, this is sort of your focus half of the dashboard. So we want to try to get it on one screen, and instead of having somebody toggle from, like, a high-level dashboard to a detailed dashboard, they can have a single dashboard where they can kind of do both types of investigation.
Yeah, I think we have to we have this issue with OpenSRP too. I think we'll have to just see what makes more sense, because otherwise, like, the default's going to be just thousands of lines, and it's just going to not make any sense. So we might just want to have like an overview one, and then have one that's drilled down to like where it's whatever that the second level, the lowest level above the district, above the facility is.
Yeah, and I think we definitely are going back and forth on our side about what would be best. If we should have two dashboards, and et cetera. I think, Clay, that's what we kind of suggested first, would have actually two separate dashboards. And you just mentioned this morning that you can use iframes, but how do you walk a user through this without confusing them and having, you know, finding that balance of what type of visualizations and when, and the experience of drilling down or using a filter. I think we have a lot of learnings and feedback together, and I'm just trying to think about it for the demo specifically. And so we might do some change before that, but I totally hear what you're saying, Matt. And
yeah, it's tough. I mean, I my gut is that we just focus on a good macro level one aimed at one user. And then we have like a district level user dashboard, and that's an easier story, I think, to tell. Because the visuals could be quite a bit different based on the level, right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm kind of cooking breakfast at the same time. Apologies for the sizzle. The one thing is, in the presentation, we have this concept of drilling in, because API managers and the people we're kind of talking to, the experience they have with analytics is you look at that high level disk indicator, but then you need to do some root cause analysis and drill in. So walking them through that journey. So I totally hear you. I just wanted to give background of why we're trying this.
Sure.
Being able to show the if you see this and you see problems, how you can then see what's driving that state and figure out what's going on and where it is. So it's definitely starting at the high level, but how low do we want to go to is, and how low you need to go to find where the issues are.
Right.
Okay, but can we, for the demo, say that it's this design is acceptable, where there's one closed file waste dashboard. At the top, there is this drill-in ability to see where the problem is, and then the filter on the left applies to the bottom of it. 'Cause I feel like it's a little too late to go back and turn into two dashboards. Like Mary Jo, from your perspective, for your ability to demo, is this overall structure of this closed file dashboard good?
I appreciate your desire to make us make a decision, but I'm not willing. I mean, like, we're still working on it, and I think it is easy to create new visualizations and new dashboards, as Clay's kind of taught us. Vidi and I are still like looking at this, and we might break it into another dashboard, which I believe is easy to do, or like use these exact visualizations and maybe make two dashboards. We will make changes between now and the demo of the visualizations, I'm quite sure, once we get more data in there and figure out what drilled in we exactly want to show.
Okay, I guess I'm okay with changes, but I want to be clear on kind of what feedback we're leaving with Clay and what's in Clay's court. Definitely the map was the number one I heard. The 500 error that kind of shows up with the weird error message in the middle is maybe the number two priority. But are we also asking Clay at this point to go back and do any of that restructuring of breaking this one dashboard into two?
No.
Okay.
We are not. I am not asking that right now. I think Matt was just reflecting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also worried, like, once we get the dummy data in there, I don't know how many facilities we have, but say we have 500 facilities, like, if you load a chart with 500 lines on it, it's going to cause just JavaScript issues in the browser, you know? I don't know. So I don't even know if it's going to work very well, because it's not really designed for that use case. So...
I guess the question is, can you have it pre-filtered when you...
Yeah, we could do that.
Like, you can set default filters?
Yeah,
I believe so. We have to look.
You can set default filters, and you can make them user editable or not user editable. So, yeah.
Okay, so you could default to one facility, but then people could pick from any facility to change.
Right. So we can save the dashboard with this filter applied, and it'll, you know, we can call it Coamba closed vial wastage dashboard. We can also essentially call this filter box, but not have the filter box on the dashboard, and apply filters in the background as well. So for instance, we don't want people from Niassa province to see people from, you know, Maputo. We don't want them to see each other's data. We can have sort of filters set in the background that are not editable.
And to me, we'll still be doing these filter changes once we get the data in. Like, I don't imagine us doing anything radically new, but it's going to be this visualization, this dashboard, let's make sure this filter is applied so you can actually read it. That's the kind of changes I am thinking of for between now and the demo.
Yeah, it's like an hour on the call, on a phone call together. It's not a big deal. So we should, Clay, we should flip the region to probably be, so it should be region, district, facility, facility name probably in terms of the order later on.
Yeah, sure.
I think once we have the data, it'll be a lot more clear what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Clay, do you feel like you got, for this one, you got the feedback you need, and or should we move on to our next one?
Yeah, I do. I think that's good. Okay, so here we have our stock monitoring dashboard. Again, this is the same slice that we just saw, facilities without data. So I'll look into why this error is the way it is, and we'll be updating the submissions map to be a little more meaningful. we've got three tree maps here for full stock availability. This one shows from the region to the district to the facility to the commodity type, what the full stock availability rate, what the full stock availability rate is. It excludes things of zero, so that's why we just have the gas cylinder in the Niassa province. You know, it's showing the full stock availability rate over the, you know, over the reporting period, which in the case of the demo data is September through the end of November. So as we have, and as we know, we have just two facilities here. So our full stock availability rate for everything is at zero, except for the cylinder gas in the acid province. Once we get a better range of data, we'll see more boxes appearing in this tree map. And that's, excuse me, the similar reason why this is returning things that have full stock availability. It's not built to the commodity type level. And so since there's no facility that truly has full stock availability, nothing's returned. And this shows things that do not have full stock availability. I sent Mary Jo an explanation of why this is null. It's escaping me at the moment. I think it's...
I can't remember either. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I can look into this one, and I can send it as a follow up from this meeting. There is a reason why this is appearing. No, it's that the reason it's escaping me. moving down, we have our stock out occurrences per facility. We can adjust these colors so that they're more reader friendly, but this is saying Coamba had 43 stock out days, and in Lichinga there were 27 stock out days. I can drill in Now I'm at the facility level and drilling, and I can see how many stockout days I had per commodity type. Again, this is a geospatial map to show full stock availability. I think we'll also want to clean this up similarly to the submission ones. If these circles are a little busy, we could remove the circles and have this just at district level. I know we had initially built the map at province level, or we can abandon the district level map altogether and go with the other type of map we're looking for submissions. What are the group's thoughts on that? Should we stick with a district level map for full stock availability, or should we abandon that?
Can you tell me what it will show? Will it be like green when it's full stock availability, or red when it's not? Like how I, because it's not showing anything right now, I'm not clear on how it will.
It'll show you a color scheme like this. I've selected where it'll go from white to black. But you can, we can select our own schemes here. And it'll show a gradient.
And
it'll show the values. I can show you actually what it looks like in a different dashboard that we've built for a different use case.
But it will be by reporting period.
So it's showing
It will be by reporting period. So for 1 month, it would say yes or no.
Right.
Facility. And is it going to say no if there's one commodity type that wasn't? I guess I'm just not clear on the grouping of what it's showing.
It's showing the facility level full stock availability rate.
So if there's one commodity that is no, it would then, I guess how are you getting the rate? Are you averaging all of the commodity types?
The definition we received from y'all was at the facility level. We can break it down to the commodity type level.
Right.
If we need to do that.
But here it's not broken down to the commodity type level, correct? It's just at the facility.
Right. And so if we want to get it to the commodity type level, the map visualization, we would probably want to look at a different visualization type.
I'm not saying to do that. I'm just trying to make sure I'm.
Yeah. So this is it. This is if there is a single commodity type that is not at full stock availability, that facility would count it as not being full stock, not as not having full stock availability for that day.
Yeah, that sounds like the correct definition, and I feel like we should stick with it, explain it to the audience, but not change our definition.
I was just confirming, we should not change it.
Okay, cool. This is what it would look like, with data. So you can see as you hover over, it gives you the values. And the colors change, based on the range of values. Just as an FYI.
I'm just trying to, to me, again, this is going to be super busy with the facility level. But if you have it at the district level, I know that with this map, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that you can't click on a district and see which facilities in it.
Right.
That's correct. And so that's kind of challenging because you see this and you would know that district is problematic, but you can then not see which facilities in the district. And I think that's why we kind of set the facility level, because that's what people will ask. Or maybe this is we have two maps. This is that example of we make another dashboard where if you know which district you want to look at, you go to the district dashboard, which has the filter at the district already done, and you're only seeing that one district at the facility level.
Yeah. And one thing I should note too, is our tree map here, our full stock availability tree map would be able to get to the facility level. You know, this is meant, I think, more to give us a sense of regionally, is there maybe a transportation problem? I don't know what might cause a certain part of the country to be getting stockouts, but if there's any kind of geographic thing going on, whereas here in the tree map, you know, it's a little more, it doesn't give that the geographic element. I can look into
Clay. Well, so just given that, then maybe that would make sense for having the map be at a higher level, and you then we can navigate saying if you identify the district, you go to the tree map to see the list.
Yeah,
that would be the interplay between the two visualizations, and then yeah. I think that will be. That's just my opinion would be that the facility level map is too much, too many colors. So a district level would be.
Sure.
What do others think? Does that seem, that would be my thought.
For my part, I'm not sure it's worth changing or whatever. I don't know how deep people look into it. Even just the current map, the way it is with circles on it, from the quick, like I'm sitting in the audience seeing a demo makes sense. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you're gonna, you know, plot full stock availability on a map and I'll be able to like see where there's problems. And I don't think in a quick demo, I don't think so much deeper about how a user will actually use it to be confused by it. Like the demo seems compelling enough or fine for that. But that's just my take.
All right. Well, Matt, I didn't know if you had any comments because you were saying you've had experience with users seeing maps. Do you think it's cool to have the facility level? I think, fine, we can keep it there. My only comment is it's just a lot. So, but that's fine. I think Matt has walked away from his computer.
So Mary Jo, we had talked about trying to, this is something I had just changed earlier today, but we had been talking about trying to plot like continuous stockout occurrences. This obviously doesn't give facility level detail. It just gives you, it shows you understocked occurrences. so this would be something we would combine with a filter.
That looks awesome, by the way. If this is truly what I think it is, this is really cool. We have the filter applied to it, this is
right. Cool. Yeah, it's a calendar heat map, right? So we identify stockout occurrences here, and we can maybe look at a particular facility and see, what were the continuous stockouts over the course of the month. Over the past 8 months.
This is really cool. And again, like I'm just, what I'm taking when I'm looking at this is how am I going to demo this with telling a story without like jumping all around. But like in my mind, once we get the data in there, I would want like a pre-populated filter. And I would like to talk at some point if iframe thing is easy where it's like, okay, we identified with this tree map of this facility or this district is having issues. And then I look at, and it's already with the filter to that district because we already know the data. And you can see this heat map of when that problem, like how long they've been understocked for, I think would be extremely compelling. It's just, I'm thinking about it from the stance of how do I tell this in a story where they're not being overwhelmed by the visualizations, but they're listening to my story and seeing the visualizations.
As we prepare that demo data, we'll, like Craig and I will basically pick a facility that will have a continuous stock out over the course of a few months so that we can have that sort of demo narrative, you know, cooked up and ready.
Yeah, that would be really good. I think that's like a new something, at least when I'm looking at all the other dashboards that I haven't seen. So I think that's pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, it hit me like a eureka moment earlier today. I was like, that's the perfect way to sort of plot how something is trending over time on like a calendar basis. Next we've got a couple more tree maps. We've been using these heavily because of the drill down capability. That's something that Mary Jo and Vidya have been really, you know, highlighting is something that their users would really like. But here I have facilities at risk for stock out, which is essentially meaning they're understocked or their stock level is below 25% of the ISA. And, you know, the flip side, facilities that are stocked according to plan, and it goes down to the commodity type level. So here, this is because these are a couple of forecasted demand ratio slices. The ISAs versus the actual consumption amounts that we had in the current demo data were pretty far out of sync. So like our forecasted demand ratio is really nowhere near the normal range. But you know, I spoke with Mary Jo and we had said we would want to define overconsumption, the forecasted demand ratio over 110%, and underconsumption being less than 90%. We just applied a result filter like I showed you earlier when I showed how we had the facilities that had not submitted data. What we have here is just a result filter at the bottom that's taking forecast demand ratio greater than 1.1. If I were to move that, and this is also hard coded to be from December, which doesn't exist in our demo data. But if I were to remove that, you know, it's giving us a table. So it's giving us a list of facilities where that is true. You know, we could also look to do a bar chart. This might be, we want to try to return a list of all the facilities, you know, for which this is true. We could approach it like we did close vial wastage and say, show me the top five, show me the top 10. Or if, you know, we do want to see a list of all the facility names, we would have that, you know, we could use a table for that. So, which is maybe, what are the group's thoughts on how we should display, you know, facilities that are either over consuming or under consuming? I know tables aren't the prettiest, but that is, or we could use like a bar chart like we do with closed vial wastage to return the top number.
I have a quick question about ease. So I'm not saying this is what has to be done, but I'm just trying to understand. If we were to build in a logic around like, if there are 10 facilities in a district, if over half of them are meeting this or something, so that you're bubbling it up to the district level, and then having a bar chart, is that something that you can do within this query here? Like, it's not redefining a new metric. Did my question come across clear? Like, if we wanted to say 10 facilities in one district are meeting this greater than or equal to 110%, over half of them are meeting that, then it's a color or it's on the bar or something like that. Is there a way to do it that way? So you're seeing essentially which districts are mostly overconsumption or mostly underconsumption? I'm not sure. I just wanted to know how you can.
Wouldn't it be a group by maybe then?
Yeah, but we want to do. Because we want to count the districts where a certain number of facilities have a value. It's not we want to count the value at the district level necessarily. I mean, it's sort of like a rare clause.
Sure.
I'd have to think on that one. It might be something that we could like take our existing JSON query and make a quick modification. I don't want to make any promises, though.
Yeah. I mean, the other one that might be relevant is if Clay, can you open up the Canopy one, the MSpray one, quick?
Yeah.
So if you go down, like this is another one that might be like a bubble chart or something like this could be relevant too.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of useful for seeing outliers. So this might be a way of seeing by district the ones that are that have that in those numbers.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I think once because we only have two facilities now. I think once we get the Kiwamba data loaded, which
should
be tomorrow, I think we can play around with some better ways to visualize. I agree. Getting some bubble charts on there would be good for identifying outliers.
But I also think that Mary Jo is highlighting that there might be some more secondary type indicators that are kind of composite, you know, like grouping, things like that. That makes it useful.
I will talk with Vidya today. I just also wanted to know how easy it would be to maybe do those composites. Maybe that's the right word of saying meeting this criteria, but grouping it or the majority within that group. I don't know. I just wanted to know how easy it would be to make those kind of changes. I'll talk with Vidya today about it, but I could just see, like you're saying, it's not really that useful if we're going to have a lot of facilities.
So can you explain again what you're thinking, just the logic on that? So if the majority of
what I was thinking was if you have a district that has 10 facilities,
right,
and each of those facilities actually by commodity type are either over or understocked, and so there's already a composite happening of like,
right,
overall at the facility, are they over or under?
Right.
But I was just doing it up one more saying, well, if the majority of those 10 are over, then let's show the district as over.
Couldn't we just do a grouping by district of these results? And then that would be the same thing in a table or in a bar chart.
Well, isn't it still showing it at the facility level?
Yeah, but we can group by district.
So you're just only showing one district.
No, we would show all these results. That table is the table. Can you go back? I mean, that was a table of all facilities, right?
Yeah, it's a table of all facilities.
Which is a lot. I was just trying to say.
Yeah, so I'm saying we can group this by, not by facility, but by district.
And then that would do the majority, like it would do the, I didn't know what grouping would do to it. Like, does that mean if it's the majority?
It's going to find the indicator value
based on the
district.
Oh.
So not, it's just going to show you the, I'll take off these additional groupings. So just giving you the forecast demand ratio for the whole district. So if we want to do it by commodity type.
But that's saying it's zero. Well, they're all zero, I guess, at this point.
Because it's because like our ICEs are in the, it's just rounding.
Okay. Because if it's just saying zero, that wouldn't be helpful. I mean, if it's telling me if it's, because it's saying that these are the ones that are over consumed. I don't know if over consumption is the right. Yeah, I guess it is. The best way to call that. All right. Yeah. Okay. I think that would work. You're right.
Yeah. This is zero because I updated our definition of consumption to look at the reason adjustment of consumed, which we're generating in the data Craig and I are making.
Okay.
In your data, that's why it's all zero.
All right. I will get back to you. I'm going to check in with Vidya to make sure the usefulness of this, if it's even useful to see at a district level, or if it's like you want to know what facility to look at, you look at 5x5 facility, but I assume the district level would be fine.
Yeah, okay.
Because then you could do the drill in and say, okay, if that district's over or under, then I'll go look at those facilities and commodity types.
Right.
But, you know, yeah. Snapshot level, you just need to see the districts to know where to look.
Yeah, I think this would be useful by district if we get it working.
Yeah. Okay. And lastly, we've got our forecast demand ratio by facility and commodity type, but as I just noted, the consumption, there's nothing that has a reason of consumed in the current data, so it's returning zero. This is another tree map, you know, similar to the ones we've been looking at.
Are we doing tree maps because they drill in? Is that the main reason?
Sorry?
Are we doing tree maps because they can drill in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the thing we always keep hearing from the users is they want to like, I see something and I want to click it. And
we need an adapt superset to support drill in charts, I think would be better.
Yeah.
If they're not already, I'm surprised they don't support it. But.
Yeah. I mean, like for instance, clicking on, tree map is really the only option.
But that's something we could probably address, I think. So
cool. Yeah, cool. Okay. So that does it, I guess, for the demo portion. I think it's reasonable that we will, you know, continue to modify these, especially once we have some data in. Update on demo data. So Craig was able to generate roughly 25,000 transactions for the Coamba district for the month of January 2017 and loaded that through your API. We did that to calculate the stock on hand amounts because, as you all know, that's something that is sort of, it changes with every transaction. And Mockaroo generates its demo data in parallel, which means you cannot have one line refer to another. And so passing that data through the API was the best way to get stock on hand calculations. And as we were extracting it today, essentially the original way that we had engineered the NiFi flow didn't anticipate having a high number of line items per stock cart like we saw with this volume of data. And so we needed to optimize it, so that it can handle, hundreds of line items per stock cart. It's something that our engineer is working on, and, you know, she's confident that, you know, once she's able to adjust the code that, you know, everything will be fine. So I'll send you an update and some screenshots of what our dashboards look like. Load. In the meantime, I think Craig has been working on generating data for February and, you know, subsequent months and loading that through your API as well. I don't know if you have anything more you want to say on that, Craig.
I'd be happy to share my screen if that would help to show you what it looks like.
Sure. Yeah. That'd be helpful.
See your screen.
All right, great, thank you. So this is the Coamba facility, and what we're loading in is these product codes, Rota 1, IPv5, and what I'll do is I'll click and show you. This is the stock card for IPv5, and we're randomly generating a number of consumed transactions per month. Between the adjustment would be between 1 and 5. And then we also have a random number of past OpenVile wastage time. So this, there are only 37 line items in this one, but those products that are more frequently used, like these syringes, have many, many more transactions. So you can see I've got 408 for the month of January, and now I'm loading in February right now. How we've had to do it, we have created the geographic zones and facilities. We've created users for each of the facilities in Kwamba. Each of those users have a role, so that they can post stock transactions, and then the NiFi flow goes through. This is probably too deep to go in, but every month on the first of the month, we run through a flow that does a calculation based on the stock on hand. So it does a query for each facility, gets the stock on hand for each light item, does a quantity calculation based on the ISA that we load in, and it posts a value, an order quantity or a receipt quantity in the system. So I'll show you what that looks like for the month of February here. And we have some, so this is the receipt that happened for this 5 mL syringe on February 1st for 765 units. So in the next couple of hours, I'm going to continue loading in data in February. February will be done in about an hour, and then through the rest of the calendar year from 2017 until the end of December for the Kwamba district. And then I'm going to move over and try to figure out the processes to work in another district in the Niassa province. All right, so that's it. Are there any questions?
No, this looks really good, and it has been a challenge definitely to put this in, so I appreciate everything the team's been doing, and really look forward to seeing the data. Both getting the demo data in and these visualizations, I think it's going to be a really, really powerful demo, and so I'm very excited to hear what people in the room think and can give us some actual feedback on if we're hitting the mark. And I think we are. So I think this is great.
So one thing I want to bring up is, I'm planning on focusing on the Niassa province, because it takes about 1 hour to load in all the data, the 25,000 transactions per month. And in this, in Niassa, I think there are something like 10 districts. So the actual data load time for those 10 districts, is 10 times 12, which is 120 hours. So we're looking at like 3 days of.
And that's just for the, so we should just, I'm hearing then that we should aim to only do one province.
Right.
Yes. Right. Okay. I think that's okay. Well, that also would help us update and focus our geographic maps to only be for the Niassa province. And I think I'm fine that it's only one province. I think we can work with that. Wow, that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
But that means we won't get to see the demo data until Friday,
earlier? No, so I'll get Kwamba done, right?
Okay.
And so Anthony and Clay are working on the visualizations, and then we would just continue to run the NiFi actions, not to get the data into Superset after that. So you'll have Kwamba, Clay, but tomorrow?
Okay.
Yeah.
And all of the time, it's just processing time, right? I'm just confirming that it's not.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done all the setup. All I have to do is like press the button every hour, which is good.
Yes, but still good to understand how long this is taking and help us figure out, you know, and communicate the level of effort when people are like, well, let's just do X, Y, and Z. It's useful to understand how long it's taking.
I guess my question, I mean, so the Gavi demo itself is only six days away and we're cutting it kind of down to the wire. I guess I want to make sure that we sort of stop making edits and kind of lock down the demo with enough time for Mary Jo and Vidya to practice. Like, I don't want to be changing things so much at the last minute that we run the risk that they get on stage and then go to pull something up and it doesn't work and Mary Jo or Vidya have to stand there and say like, oh, well, it worked a few days ago, or we've been changing it up to the last minute. Like, I don't want to put them in the position of having to apologize or something. So better to lock it down, even if it's not perfect, at least it's like a known quantity, than to change things at the very last minute and have it be totally broken, I guess, is how I would feel about it. So I'm wondering if you all can just say a bit about the timeline of these next 6 days, and do you have enough meeting time with Mary Jo and Vidya and the right team to get through these last rounds of seeing the changes and testing it out and knowing that you have opportunities to, if there's issues, flag it and kind of give yourself a timeline for locking it down or not, you know, not changing it at the very last minute.
So we don't have anything. Yeah, I guess we don't have anything on the books to meet. Apologies, Clay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, my thinking is, if we're able to load the data for Kiwamba by the time y'all wake up tomorrow, the loading data for the remainder of the districts isn't going to like significantly impact the way we're trying to visualize, I wouldn't think. Like, having one district with sufficient data, will let us get a sense of how we want to visualize facility level data. Comparing districts, comparing two districts to another, and I guess we would have to use a bit of imagination, but I don't know. In terms of like when you would want to set a drop dead date, I guess I would defer to Mary Jo from like her comfort level on the demo. But I think if we have data from Kiwamba District in tomorrow, by the time y'all wake up, I think you should have plenty of time to figure out what the best demo narrative is going to be, and how we want to organize or structure our visualizations. And I can certainly help adjust visualizations, make new visualizations, etc. Throughout the week as well.
How about I suggest, are you available Thursday morning at 8 a.m., so like an hour, the same time that we are at right now, or
are we start?
Okay.
I could meet after that.
I have a meeting with Craig after. Maybe, Craig, would you want to meet at this time for the Open SRP piece, and then we do the reporting at 9 a.m.?
Yeah, we could do that, and I could be in the office there for that. Yep.
Okay, so I'll have a two-hour block to both meet with Craig on the Open SRP side, and then the reporting subsequently after that, so that based on everything we do tomorrow in our back and forth on Slack, if there's any changes or modifications, and then we'll hopefully have everything locked down for Thursday morning.
Cool. I'll send you a Google Hangout right now.
Cool. And maybe when you meet, you all could also just talk about like whether anybody is on call. The demo at Gavi, I understand, is on a Monday. And I don't know whether you need anybody, Mary Jo, to kind of be on call or available on Skype if you run into last minute issues, or if you'll be doing a final rehearsal over the weekend and you and Vidya want to be able to, if you run into questions over the weekend, to have somebody sort of on call that you're able to reach. Have you talked about some of those things about kind of the final support during the live event?
We can do that. And we'll come up with a plan. Yes, we'll talk about that.
Okay, perfect. Cool.
Absolutely, it's great. It's looking good. I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
It's great.
Yeah.
Clay, I couldn't help but notice your Zenesis tab.
Yeah.
Is this on par with Zenesis now?
Well, yeah, I think so. We're sort of looking at some of our competitors' sites to see, what they're offering and how we should be positioning ourselves. But have you seen?
Sorry, you broke up there. Didn't quite hear that.
Have you seen Jacida, our map layer building tool?
No. Is it based off Mapbox or what is it?
Yeah, it's based off of Mapbox. If Matt's still on, he might be able to speak a bit more about it.
He might have shared a link previously with some, but it was a while ago. So I don't know. Maybe we could add that to the agenda for next time.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah, it'd be exciting to see.
Okay, cool.
Cool. So for today, Craig, Clay, any final things you need?
Nope, I'm good. We'll be sending an update for y'all tomorrow. With some screenshots of what our dashboards are looking like with the demo.
Great.
Awesome.
We'll look forward to that update and talking again on Thursday. One thing, I guess Matt's already left, but I think I mentioned this to you, Craig. But again, if there are like marketing slides that you have about OpenSRP and now Canopy, it'd be great if you could share one to two slides or one to three slides in case I get questions. I just wanted to have some of your guys' materials on hand to be able to speak about the products and services you offer.
Yep, I can get that to you.
Thanks. Cool. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, all.
Adios, amigos.
Bye.